Welcome back, everyone, to the XCast. The truth is in here. I am your host, Tony Black, for our third episode of coverage of My Struggle 3, the season premiere of season 11 of The X-Files. And joining me for this discussion of the bad guys is Andrew Blaker once again. So thanks for coming down this dark road with me, Andrew.
Oh, well, thank you for welcoming me down this dark road.
In which we'll be talking about the cigarette-smoking man, Boo Hiss. Monica Reyes, Boo Hiss. Maybe even more, actually. I'm really annoyed about Monica, but we'll talk about that. And not such a villain, although maybe he's going down that way. Good old Skin Man, Walter Skinner.
Oh, Skinner.
Well, let's talk about the big man first. Let's talk about the smoking man, because obviously he is a central figure with My Struggle 3. And it's one of those things that when he came back, obviously, in season 10, after everyone went, how on earth can you possibly bring him back? You know, he had his face burned off at the end of The Truth. That surely was it. And obviously he comes back. You briefly see him in My Struggle. You obliquely see him in Babylon. And then you see him in My Struggle too. But in this episode is his struggle. And I think, I don't know about you, I think this is the best we've seen of the Smoking Man probably since, I'd say, Requiem, at least.
Yeah, well, Requiem was his, I mean, last big episode. I mean, he had a speech in The Truth when he was killed, and I'm sorry, badly burned. And he had good stuff with Mulder and My Struggle too, which is now just a dream and or a hallucination of Scully's. And this was really his episode. I do think we should point out we probably ought to be calling him by his appointed name. I mean, yes. we were given it at the very beginning of the episode.
Well, this is something I was going to get to, because I mean the teaser of this episode is great. I mean, it's one of the best. It's definitely the best opening struggle teaser, which is obviously each one. First, it was Mulder, then it was Scully. Now it's the Smoking Man, and it's a monologue, and it's a description of that person. You know, it's an introduction. My name is Fox Mulder. My name is Dana Scully. The Smoking Man's name isn't CGB Spender, which we'd been led to believe. It is Carl Gerhard Busch.
Now it is, yeah.
Now that, I mean, let's just stop and analyse that surname from the start. I mean, what the hell is Chris Carter trying to say here? Is he trying to say that he's George Bush's brother, like George Bush Senior's brother? I mean,
I think there's a different spelling. I think it's more the German Bush.
Yeah, okay.
With a C.
Probably. But the, yeah. the inference is almost certainly a nod to the Bush dynasty, isn't it? You know.
Oh yeah. Well, you have footage of George W. and his father in the monologue. So yeah, I mean, very clearly there's a hint there.
I thought his opening monologue was really good, actually, and I think it's the most on the nose that Chris Carter has got about how he's taking a cue from, you know, the politics of the day. And you know, season 10 operated in a funny little space, because it was right at the end of the Obama administration, which was, you know, pretty much it was one of those funny American presidencies, which as a non-American I can comment on in this way. Everyone loved Obama who didn't live in America. In America, I'm well aware that he was a very divisive figure, and it's one of the reasons why we've ended up with Donald Trump. Wherever we sit on the spectrum of Donald Trump, it's one of the reasons we now have the most contentious presidency in many years. And so season 10 operated in this funny space. Obama was about to leave, Trump hadn't come in, and we hadn't quite had this, over the last 2 years, this sudden, you know, remarkable shift in the way everything seems to have happened, you know. So it's interesting how now Chris Carter seems to be operating with the Smoking Man in an entirely different landscape than the one that he started in season 10.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, there are certainly concerns that were voiced in My Struggle, government surveillance, whistleblowing, things that are very much still in play. But, you know, the whole quote-unquote fake news and alternative facts and all those buzzwords that are thrown around today that you have, you know, CSM use in one way or another this episode. That's all pretty new terrain, at least in the popular consciousness. And I thought that he did a pretty effective way of communicating that. I would say better than My Struggle. My Struggle had Mulder and Tad O'Malley's, you know, 5-minute diatribe about how, you know, deep state or whatever is going to, you know, militarize the police and take over the world and everything, which was very in your face. That we didn't have that with this, and I thought that was a better way to handle it on Chris Carter's part.
Yeah, I think it was a bit more. It wasn't quite as heavy-handed, you know. It was mythological again. And I think this is one of the things with The Smoking Man that there's always been that element of myth and apocrypha. And, you know, there was some great little callbacks to things like The Musings of a Cigarette Smoking Man, in which, you know, in his monologue, Smoking Man heavily suggests that he killed JFK. And the wonderful fact that he faked the moon landings, which is just so... It's almost comical in that sense. But it works because it's selling this point that The Smoking Man has always been fake news. He's always been misinforming. He has always been lying. And, you know, the telling thing is that the tagline changes from not even the truth is out there. It starts as I want to believe, and then it very quickly shifts into I want to lie, which is very much Chris Carter saying, don't believe anything necessarily that this man says, because he is the master manipulator. He is the master liar, the grandmaster of it. And we can't take anything he says at face value, which fits very, very well with the overarching ideas of post-truth and fake news and misinformation and this idea of a very structured narrative that fits whatever you want it to fit. And The Smoking Man, in a way, has always been doing that. But now it's it's something that is very it's very easy for Chris Carter to draw on in the real world. And I thought that was really, really, really well done with The Smoking Man. It makes him a villain comparable to some of the people that exist in the real world today in just more of an extreme way.
Yeah, no, I thought the way they set him up this episode was pretty good. Because like you said, this was basically the reintroduction to Cigarette Smoking Man. You had a little bit of it in season 10, but not from his perspective, not told in this way.
And I think this gives William B. Davis a real chance to get back into that character. I mean, he did it a bit in My Struggle 2, but for me, this was classic Smoking Man all the way through. A bit like how Mulder felt like classic Mulder a bit more. This was CSM to a T. You know, just the lines, the delivery, you know, everything just felt like some of the stuff he used to say, you know, or some of the scenes that he used to have in many ways. Yeah, there was a bit more exposition. It's a bit more loaded, I suppose. You know, there's a little bit more of a soap opera element to it as well, which isn't always great. But he got some really good meat to chew on. I think William B. Davis has even said as much that he really enjoyed some of the dialogue he got in this and some of the choices made. And obviously the big choice is what we talked about in the previous episode, which is what he did to Scully, or what apparently he did to Scully. And I think, you know, I mean, the question is, is it true? I mean, this is the thing. The whole episode is based around this idea of lies. The tagline says, I want to lie.
Yes.
When he
yes.
says, I am William's biological father, is he lying to Skinner? You know, is he telling the truth? I mean, where do you stand on this?
I don't think that when we get to episode 10, this is still going to stand. I think he's throwing it in there. Like you said, the tagline, I want to believe, turns to I want to lie. This is set up, you know, as his struggle, his story, his perspective. So it's going to be biased. It could be complete, outright, you know, BS. But there's many ways that Carter could go with this. And I think what he's going to do I don't know if I think or I hope what he's going to do. I don't know. He could have been the science. What was that? What was that phrase? Did he actually say the word I impregnated her with science? Did he say that?
He did. I'm afraid.
I think he did. I saw that in a review after, and I'm like, now was that really said? Cause if so, there's the classic Carter dialogue. But
yeah.
You know, if he did in fact impregnate her with science, maybe what it's going to be is that he made her, you know, he didn't actually impregnate her, but I'm losing the words right now. He made it so that she was no longer barren. Okay. He set that right. I don't know what word I'm trying to use.
I know what you're saying, that he found a way scientifically to impregnate her. I mean, like we said in the previous episode, I don't think he raped Scully. I mean, this is the big thing to say, and I don't necessarily think lots of fans think this either, but I think they are very troubled by the suggestion that he may have abused her in that way. And he did, didn't he? I mean, let's face it, whatever did happen, you know, and there was some really interesting things. Chris Carter has gone on record as saying that NME, this was all planned since NME. Well, I don't believe that for a second. Firstly, he didn't write NME. William B. Davis did. Secondly, yeah. And William B. Davis has said in interviews since, I didn't really plan this. It just, you know, came out. But so, secondly, as you will have noticed, Andrew, because I know you pick up on this, they went in and they re-edited certain parts of that flashback in that they added yep, a reference to a housekeeper. Now, not everyone will get this. And this is one of the things that Chris Carter himself is being a bit post-truth, because he's gone on record as saying, yeah, it was all planned. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he's gone in, and fans will pick up on it. He's gone in and added a housekeeper suddenly to the some of the lines in that season 7 episode. So we're talking an episode that came out in 1999, okay, or 2000, okay? And also, there's just a couple of extra little lines or scenes, moments that don't quite fit that episode. So there's been some tinkering going on to retcon, to sell this point. So I don't think for one minute that the Smoking Man actually went in there and did something like that. I think he's found a way, you know, and it was interesting how in NME, he promises Scully the cure to all human disease. To me, that could well be the cure to the Spartan virus, if you want to look at it into those terms. So this could connect up in terms of the science being used. But I think what you're saying is absolutely true. I think that's more than likely what he's done. But it's whether it is true and whether he's lying about it. And if he is lying about it, then what's he trying to get out of it apart from William? And why would he want William? You know, what is William to these people? You know, what is William going to do ultimately? Because his plan is to wipe clean humanity. Does he need William for some next evolutionary step?
So William is a part of the Chosen Elite, right? He's protected just like Scully, his mother. I don't know. It almost seems like he just wants to get his little family together. I mean, as perverse as that sounds, I mean, he obviously, like Monica says to him or questions him about, you know, do you love Scully? Are you in love with Scully? Or however she worded it. You know, it really hits on this idea of his really screwed up view of paternity and family, you know. And I don't know. I think he wants William because he sees this. I mean, he does see himself as William's father, I guess. So he tells Skinner. Like I said, that yeah. I don't know. I really don't know what to make of that.
Could it be that? And this has just come to me, but could it be that he feels like William is the son he's chosen, and the son that he's biologically created? You know, if he describes himself as God, you know, he wants to rule over the Chosen Elite as God and remake the world in his image. So does he consider William to be that perfect sort of son, when the two sons he did have, which he talks about, you know, he very much puts Mulder and Spender in parallel at the start of the episode. You know, there's that whole suggestion that both of them have disappointed him as well. You know, he basically killed Spender or tried to kill him at the end of one son when he failed him. At the end of the truth, he gleefully, you know, enjoys Mulder learning that everyone's doomed, and now I see you broken, you know, that whole thing. So is it that he's those two sons who were born of women? They weren't his women essentially. You know, Cassandra he sort of just experimented on and tossed aside. Tina, he betrayed Bill Mulder and all that kind of thing. Is William that expression through Scully of that perfect child, that perfect son who he and William will rule the world together? You know, is that his ultimate plan?
I think that's very fair. I mean, like he said, he's the first superhuman child. I mean, he at least believes he is. I think that that's a very valid point, and I think it matches up with, you know, kind of how Chris Carter has portrayed William in season 8, season 9, you know, where you know, how he has come to be and what exactly he is called into question and again and again. And I think that jives pretty well with how Chris Carter is using William in this new narrative.
Could be. Yeah. I think he's using certain characters less well. I mean, we talked a bit about Skinner and how he gets more to do here, and he's given this really difficult position he's put in, where the Smoking Man says to him, you know, join my side. Oh, and by the way, Mulder isn't William's dad. So, sorry to land that one on you, Skinner. And there's Skinner's put in this position. But then with Monica, I mean, a lot of people with Monica Reyes were suggesting that, you know, she's coming back in season 11. Surely she's going to get redemption. Surely this choice, this baffling choice that Chris Carter made, that was, like we said in the previous episode, was supposed to potentially be Marita Covarrubias, or so we've heard. Is this baffling choice about to make Monica Reyes the Smoky Man's stooge going to be reversed? But if anything, she feels even more. She's conflicted. She questions him at points about things, but she still puts a gun to Skinner's head. Like, I don't buy that for 1 minute.
Well, no, but I guess one thing, watching her, I had to remind myself, okay, really, this is the first we are seeing of Monica Reyes, because My Struggle 2 was, well, it was all Scully's head. So, you know, she was a tool in the vision, I guess, that I guess William had sent to Scully. But this is when we actually see, okay, this is what is actually happening. This is reality within the X-Files right now. So this is what you're seeing, where Monica is right now. And so I think that will lead. I know Annabeth Gish is in more than just the two Myth Arc episodes. I know she's at least in episode 6, possibly another one. So it sounds like she's going to be a little bit more fleshed out, hopefully, by the end of the season. And hopefully there's some sort of confrontation between her and Mulder and Scully. Right now, Mulder and Scully have no idea she's an associate with CSM. Only Skinner knows that. So I think that sets the stage pretty nicely for some sort of epic showdown. And I do agree that she is conflicted when she's in the car with a gun to Skinner's head, and then I think he steals the gun away, and then before she gets out of the car, you know, he basically stares at her and in disbelief, saying, "You're a party to this, or you're a part of this," and a momentary facial twinge, I think you pick up on it. But I know people who are hashtag Reyes Redemption are really clinging to that as a, you know, evidence that, you know, we may not know her motives for going into this, you know, diabolical plan with him, but she's clearly having second thoughts. So I think that will hopefully be addressed, or at least explored a little bit more throughout the season.
It may do. And, it, you know, it may fold into a little bit of what Skinner's going to go through as well, because he's been put in that crux position now of having this knowledge, this terrible knowledge, if it's true, that he's going to have to keep from Mulder and Scully. And I think Mitch Pileggi has described in interviews that Skinner's allegiances are going to kind of seesaw at times. And that maybe, in the classic, you know, example of the Smoky Man having won over Skinner, which we saw in episodes like Zero Sum and things like that brilliantly in the past, it's kind of happening again now. He's got one over Skinner now. He knows that Skinner can't just go up to Mulder and Scully and go, "Oh, by the way." So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And it puts Skinner in a much more interesting position than he was last season. Last season, he was just the boss again. Now,
oh yeah,
he's again in that middle distance between where Mulder and Scully are as a good guy and then when the Smoky Man is, which is classic Skinner, which is where Skinner always was, and when he was at his best, that's where he always was. So it's great, I think, that they've put him back in that position.
Definitely. I mean, it's much better than he was very much underused, and I would say wasted in season 10, and it was kind of insulting to the character, I felt. And they've definitely got him in a good role with some great acting for Mitch and just great character moments, I think. Episode 6, we have basically an origin story for Skinner. It definitely has a Myth Arc bent to it, with, I believe, Monica's going to be in that. So, you know, I'm hoping we can really kind of explore a bit more about his character in the time since the truth and where we are now.
Yeah, I think we will. I think we'll get some really good Skinner stuff this season. So plenty more to come from these guys, and plenty more to talk about. So that's the bad guys and the semi bad guy, the semi good guy, all done. And we're going to be back for one last examination of My Struggle 3, and we're going to talk more about Chris Carter and some of the choices he's made, because I think there's a deeper discussion that's worth having really about this in terms of My Struggle 3. So we'll be back tomorrow for our final bit of My Struggle 3 coverage, but until then, thanks for listening, and remember, trust no one.